Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents who have children with rare diseases.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and sometimes the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, Kate.
Woohoo.
Here we are.
Once again.
Yep.
Hot.
Hot. Not talking weather.
Not talking weather, but sweaty.
Okay. I thought I'm not wearing my breathable outfit.
No.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Well, I was in a much smaller outfit, and then I was like, I should get changed. So I've put on more respectable clothes.
Lovely. Lovely. You're looking gorgeous.
Very hot at work. But anyway. We don't have to talk about that.
No,
weather.
We're not.
Lisa does
here we
not
are
like it.
I know. Oh, dear. We are here today and we've got some guests.
We have got some guests. Yes. We've got two extra microphones.
Yay!
We love having guests.
Yes.
These are the first guests of the year.
Yep.
But maybe you won't hear it first. I don't know, but they are our first guests of the year.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Yeah.
So let's ask who they are. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Heather Enton and I run Syndromes Without a Name, which provides information and support to families who care for a child with an undiagnosed or rare genetic condition.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
And your friend?
Hi, my name's Sue White. I'm a clinical geneticist, which means I'm a genetics doctor.
Right.
So I see kids who have rare or undiagnosed genetic conditions. Mm. And Heather and I are mates. So I play a kind of ambassador role for Syndromes Without a Name, which is the support group.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you.
For
yeah.
Thanks for having
it's
us.
It's exciting. You bought some biscuits.
Yeah. And a shopping bag.
Yes, that's right.
And a pen and a notebook.
And a book.
It's just amazing. It's Christmas. Like Christmas.
Lovely.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, I don't really like presents. I do.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming over from the north.
Yes.
Over to the east. Yeah.
We survived the journey.
Yeah, great. Great. Lovely.
Yep, out in the other burbs.
So you contacted us to have a little chat. Is that right?
Yes.
You emailed? Yeah. Okay. You got the email, Kate. So maybe,
I did, yes. Yeah. And how did you hear about us?
So my sister actually first told me about your show. And it's been great for her. She's embracing her niece more and supporting Swan more. So
she's a chickpea.
It's been very, she likes to call herself a pea aunt.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
So she wanted to make you ladies biscuits because she really enjoys your podcast.
Oh,
yeah.
thank you, pea auntie.
Yes.
Oh,
so nice.
Lovely.
Yeah. Maybe
and how did she, what did she say that what we were talking about? How did she introduce it?
She said, oh, here these fabulous ladies. They've got twins. They're about your daughter's age and they're just hilarious and you should listen to them. And then it did actually take me a while because I was busy and
yes.
I had to listen to you by myself in the car.
Yes, you do,
it's not
sorry.
Suitable for children.
No, it's not.
And, yes, I was hooked. You make me laugh. You make me cry.
Yeah.
You save me on therapy fees. Awesome. So thank you.
Yeah.
You just give us your Medicare card.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Well, that's lovely. And I think even my own sisters learnt stuff about my own story. So it's lovely when family members can learn a little bit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep, it's really, really awesome. Good.
Yeah. And so how did you two meet?
So we had sons in the same class at school.
Yeah. Right.
And a mutual friend introduced us actually at Northcote Pool. I got very excited when I asked Sue what she did and she said she was a geneticist. And I said, oh, can you diagnose my child?
Everyone's in their bikinis. And Sue,
possibly I started running. At that
going, I've got to get out of the pool.
There I was doing my freestyle fairly slowly.
Trying to have some time away from work.
Right. Yeah. No, Heather's been a great mate and she tries not to harass me at the gym. We have had a few conversations about some of the more challenging stuff that she has to deal with in relation to Swan and the support group. But we both are really passionate about getting diagnoses for kids with undiagnosed rare genetic conditions. So we had a lot of common ground even before we whinged about and debriefed about our sons who were in primary school at the same age.
Wow. So before we get going, we have our questions.
Yes.
So you've sort of answered, but why are you a P?
So my daughter had an undiagnosed genetic condition for 9 years and then she got a diagnosis, but with that comes challenges, behavioural, ID, autistic-like traits. Life is never boring. Let's just put that.
No, never a dull moment.
No.
And why are you a P?
Well, I guess my life is surrounded by P's, so maybe I might be an honorary P.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Definitely. You guys will find the right P-fessionals,
term. P-fessionals, we do.
P-fessionals?
Okay, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with that.
Oh, good.
I might put that after my name.
Yes,
you most certainly can.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
P-fessional.
So I love having P's in my life because I find they're the most authentic interactions I have with people. So I just think as a pediatric doctor, I love working with kids who have differences and I'm really passionate about them getting a go and but I, at a personal level, I just like interacting with them because they're real and there's it's all authentic.
It's true.
It's so true.
No room for any pretension.
No.
It's a great leveler.
It actually is, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's. Yeah. I find that, I don't know, you just cut through all the crap.
Yeah.
And you're just like, these are real people. That's it's awesome.
Yeah. And I think, like, when you're studying to become a doctor, there's a lot of crap and a lot of pretension. And I think I gravitated towards pediatrics because I kind of could see there was this authentic sort of. You know, feel about doing pediatrics and then even more working with kids with special needs.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just a place. You can't be pretentious when you're talking about poo and wee.
No, all the time.
Right?
you can't.
And I just really like that.
Yeah.
It's great. Now, the other question we always ask is, did you get any awards in school or outside of school?
Yes.
Ooh, tell us.
I actually used to play chess competitively.
Wow.
So, yes, I did win a few awards. Always came second, rarely came first, but that's
still,
okay.
Still. Okay, silver.
Yeah. That's right.
In the Chess Olympics.
Chess Olympics.
So that was my past life.
Right.
And they do actually have Chess Olympics, but I was never at that level.
Oh.
That's all right.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow, you're smart.
Yeah.
No. That's
a hard game.
It is a hard game.
I'm impressed, Heather. I didn't know that about
you. Wow.
Yeah. That's how I actually met my partner because he played chess competitively too.
Oh.
There you go.
The pod bar brings out the information.
Yes.
I haven't played for years, but
did you have to do that push the timer and then?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh.
It's like speed dating.
And you score your moves and you analyse it, but I haven't played for years.
Not at all.
No, probably not for years.
It's past life.
Yeah, past life.
And then did you like lock eyes with Shane over the chess board?
No.
Is that how it works?
Did he make a great move and you were like, woo?
We actually had a good social circle, so I'm getting through that social circle. Right. I don't think I ever played him a competitive game, actually.
You better.
Ooh. Oh, no, I played him casually.
Yeah.
just yes. casual chess, not competitive chess.
That's right.
I would call that checkers. What's yeah. that? The black and the red ones.
I just have to say that I have played my husband so many times in trouble, never been beaten. Never. And it drives him crazy because he's really smart. He's really? Like, this is a game of chance. It's actually impossible for you to win again. Ba-bam, they're all home.
Do you have a special way of getting sixes? Because that's
know.
The key, right?
With yeah. And now trouble. I can't do it anymore. I'm out. Okay. I've won so many times, I'm retiring a champion.
Okay, well, yeah. there you go.
I'm
not playing that with you when we go away.
No, you can't. And we bought a travel one and we used to play it in the car, and once he flinged it in the car, he's like, this, you can't possibly win again.
Yes, you can.
I can. Anyway, that's my claim to fame.
Right, back to awards.
Yes. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Maybe a couple at school, but
maybe.
Too many to
it's
count.
To be ashamed
no,
of.
That's right. That's right.
That's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's yeah. all good, but you know.
Any really good one?
Well, nothing that counted for anything much. I did win a short story competition when I was about 15.
Right.
For what is now, I think, possibly the worst short story I've ever read in my life. It was in my local paper when I was growing up called the Hampton Bugle.
Right. Oh.
And I won $200.
Wow.
I know. It was
that
a lot
was
of
a
money
lot of
at
money.
That. Yeah. I'm an old lady, right? So it was a lot of money at
I
that
think
time.
We're similar age.
And I thought after that, you know, this writing business, this is really easy, right?
Yeah. What a breeze.
You barely need to edit, you just send it off.
But which is interesting because you've actually written a book.
Yes.
Which Mandy and I have been given.
Yay.
And it's called Take the Shot. Susan White, you haven't even put doctor on here.
Oh, you could have.
You could have. You're not pretentious at all.
There wasn't enough space.
I can see there's
it was place. Either going to be the basketball or the doctor, and I thought the basketball was more important. Yeah,
that's true.
It's awesome.
True. So we will put a link to this up on our website, Peas. But, yeah, do you want to tell us a tiny bit about the book?
Yeah, it's a novel written for young teenagers about a basketball-obsessed boy who finds out that he's got a rare genetic condition called Marfan syndrome, which means that it's potentially dangerous for him to play basketball.
Yes, right.
So it's all about being a bit different and finding out about it and trying to work out if you can do the thing you love and how do you fit in, especially at that sort of his 14, 15.
Yes.
So, it's all about stuff that I really care about.
Yeah, I'm going to read it with the boys. Yeah, I reckon they'll be into it. So... cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, and tell me from the beginning, when did you suddenly think, things might not be, was it milestones or the birth or?
Yeah. So my daughter came very quickly. Labour was just over an hour 20.
Wow. Did you make it to hospital?
Yes, because we lived very close to the hospital.
You're great.
So got into the car park at 4 o'clock. She was out at 4:20.
Wow.
And look, I reckon looking back, I've thought there might have been something wrong. Like pregnancy was fine, but I think in my gut I knew something was up.
Yeah.
She actually went blue on her second feed. Right. And ended up in the special care nursery for a day.
Wow.
And because she was a public hospital patient, we were linked in with a paediatrician who kept an eye on her. And at 6 months, the maternal health nurse said, she's got global development delay. Do you want to go see a physio? Mm. And I thought, that sounds good. Like total.
Yeah.
My daughter's fine. We'll just see a physio and we'll be fine.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then at 8 months, we had this paediatrician say to us, your daughter's behind in every area of development. She's got global development delay. Look at the way she's holding a rattle. It's really immature. And I think she's having multiple seizures. And I'm going to order all these tests, head ultrasounds, MRI. Wrote down a whole lot of tests, didn't explain it to me, and basically showed me the door. So we never went back and saw the paediatrician. I did ring her up the next day and said, look, I'm not coping too well with this. Can you recommend a counsellor?
Yeah.
And she said, we'll wait till you're in early intervention or go and see your GP.
Oh,
so you asked for help.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, I hear this story, not my personal story, but many stories. Yeah. Parents always remember the person who shatters their dreams.
That's right. That's true.
I'll never forget it. Yeah.
And Melbourne City Mission actually brought out a book called The Ripple Effect, which was aimed at clinicians about, you know, just be careful on how you deliver news.
Right.
And it has some good stories and some not so good stories.
Yeah.
I think there's a link to it on our Swan website.
Right. Okay.
So PDF you can download.
Yep. Yep.
So then...
Was this your eldest child?
No.
Okay. I've got
a, so my daughter is 13 and a half.
Yep.
And my son's almost 17.
Right. Okay.
So, but he wasn't a good sleeper. My daughter certainly wasn't a good sleeper. So I think I was just sleep deprived.
Yeah. Yes.
And
it changes
this
you.
Denial that you're not realising you're in denial. So
yeah, of course not.
We got to early intervention just before she was one and I said to the early intervention manager, you know, do many of your kids go on to uni? She probably just thought this poor woman has
we all did the same. Yeah.
And I just thought, we don't need to be here. We'll just get this poor eyesight and low muscle tone fixed up and we'll be fine. Everyone else needs to be here, but not us. I've come a long way.
Yeah.
You have.
A long, long way. Yeah. And I'm still friends with the early intervention manager.
You spend a lot of time with them.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I reckon it was till my daughter started, once she started school, I sort of came out of that fog.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is a fog and I certainly couldn't think clearly in that space.
Yeah.
We went through a 9-year diagnostic odyssey with her. So they thought she had one rare condition. We waited 2.5 years. Lab results got lost and mucked up and we had to always follow up. And then when they finally got results, I was shown 2 slides with squiggly lines and said, she doesn't have that condition. I said, what do you mean she doesn't have this condition? This is a life-threatening condition.
Yeah.
And he said, no, see these lines? But let's just wait till the tests from Europe come back. So one lot of tests went to Belgium, one went to the Netherlands.
Wow.
And 3 months later, no, she doesn't have that condition. So then it's another wait to see geneticists, and Sue will talk about the waiting times and access. I'm sure when I finish talking.
No, it's okay. We've got lots of time.
Yeah.
And the next we had to wait to see a geneticist, another theory, another life-threatening condition. And following up after 3 months when they told us the results would be back, 6 months later they came back and the geneticist said, well, she's tested negative, but I still think she has that syndrome. And then we were back in the system, saw another geneticist who finally said, well, no, she doesn't have that condition. She doesn't have the heart defect that goes with it. We'll just keep an eye on you. And then thankfully Sue's colleague saw us and we got access to a trio, which I'm sure Sue will go into the sequencing testing, and we finally got a diagnosis of FOXP1 syndrome.
Right.
Well, it was actually a gene change on FOXP1 and with the closed Facebook group we actually got to vote on what we wanted to call the syndrome, which was kind of cool.
Love it.
And they had all these complicated names and we all said FOXP1. That was one of the ones they suggested.
Right.
So when she was diagnosed over 4 years ago, we think she was about the 13th child in the world diagnosed. And now we think we're up to probably somewhere between 100 and 150.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to guess because more kids are getting diagnosed every day. There's no rare disease register on her genetic condition, so it's hard to track. But I don't realize you don't realize what a weight you carry on your shoulder until you get that diagnosis. And this one just fits. You look at these other kids and you go, oh my goodness, they look like my daughter.
Yeah.
You look at the symptoms, oh, they all have difficult behavior.
Yes.
It all goes out the window at age 10.
Yeah.
And I think there's more to a diagnosis than a name, and having a diagnosis leads to empowerment.
It does.
Sharing stories with each other. So that's kind of the short story.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
And then you decided that you were going to start. Did you start Swan?
Yes. So when my daughter was still
undiagnosed. A woman, Super P.
Totally naive. If I'd known I'd be working. If I'd known I'd be working
Very
for nothing.
Very brave P.
It's a lottery.
For at least 6 years, I would never have done it, I don't think.
Yeah.
I was looking for a support group.
That's how we found about the podcast.
Yeah, that's
right. No, just joking.
We love the podcast.
And I rang the Genetic Support Network of Victoria and they said, well, no, there's nothing. And then one of their staff members rang me up the next day and said, look, I've done some research. There's Swan UK and there's Swan USA. Oh, yeah. We could help you start Swan Australia.
Okay. But
there wasn't really much
help. No help. Yeah. We can suggest the name.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that's what they do.
Off you go.
So we do work a bit with Swan UK.
Right.
And we often, you know, reach out to them because they've got more funding, yeah, so they've done more research, and then we tap into that.
Sure.
Yep.
And then we actually helped set up Swan New Zealand a couple of years ago as well.
Wow.
And now there's Swan Europe as well.
Wow.
So it's growing.
And so did those registers link so that you can tell the children that are diagnosed? Like, is it a register or is it just a support group?
It's peer support group. We do advocacy, systemic advocacy around lobbying for more funding for genetic and genomic testing.
Yeah, right.
For funding for peer support groups because unfortunately peer support groups get very little funding.
I can imagine.
It tends to be project based.
Yeah.
And they do a good job and they save the mental health of carers.
Of course.
Yeah. So they need to be funded. So if there's any rich people out there,
please
head consider to Swan. Donating.
Absolutely. We'll put the links up in our show notes and then hopefully on the website. We don't know what we're doing with the website, but it will
it's
happen.
Pretty. It's going to work.
It is pretty.
So. Can I just ask, when she was at kinder, did you have IQ testing then? And then how did she go to kinder?
Yes. So she went to four-year-old kinder.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then in order to go to school and get a support, we did IQ testing.
So did she go to mainstream?
No, I think she would have got lost in the mainstream system. Yeah. I think mainstream is great if it's well-resourced and some schools do it really well.
Yeah.
But I know my daughter, and certainly for high school, our local high school is quite academic focused.
Yeah.
She would get eaten alive.
Totally.
And at the end of the day, you want your children to have friends.
Yeah.
And they're friends with like-minded people.
Yeah.
You know? Are you friends with the people, you know, shooting up in the gutter? No, you're friends with like-minded people.
Yeah.
Sorry if that sounds snobby. But
No. I know what you mean.
You want the same for your kids.
Level? Of course.
You want them to be happy.
Of course.
And, so she's at a special school, which is working well.
Yeah. Awesome. Yep. Great. And does she have to catch a bus to that or can you drive to that?
No, because we're outside the designated transport zone.
Right, of course.
And NDIS, we're meant to make a decision about transport for kids in 2020 this year. And they parked it till 2023.
I didn't know that.
So all these submissions are sitting on some parliamentary shelf and they wouldn't fund it in our plan, but our plan was a disaster because the planner didn't read the evidence and there was things they said in her plan that were totally inaccurate.
It's very hard.
Yes.
But it's like a full-time job.
We can talk all day about the NDIS,
I know,
but I won't.
Me too. I know.
I know. It's brilliant and it's a seesaw, isn't it? It's amazing and it's not. So it will be amazing one day.
I hope so.
Look, I think it's hard, particularly when you don't have a diagnosis.
Yes.
Because it's meant to be a needs-based scheme, yet we hear so often from Swan families, what's your diagnosis?
Yes. Yes. I hear that all the time.
Do you?
Mm. And, you know, so the types of tests that got a diagnosis for Heather's daughter, they're not available to everybody because they're new and they're whiz-bang and they're really expensive. So not all families with a child with a suspected genetic condition can then get their hands on a genomic test and so they remain undiagnosed. So we have these conversations with them that are really tough, like, we think your child has a genetic condition. There's some features there that make us think these problems are genetic, but I don't know what it is. And, you know, depending on their circumstances, sometimes where they live, what their pattern of problems are, I may or may not be able to access a test for them.
Yeah.
And if I can't get them a test and we don't know what they have, some of them go to NDIS and they get told, oh, your nonverbal five-year-old is not eligible for NDIS because they don't have
a
diagnosis.
That's awful.
Super frustrating. But, I guess we're on a bit of a mission to try and improve access to that testing, but also to bring NDIS back to what it's meant to be, which is, as you say, it's not diagnosis. It's not meant to be a diagnosis-based system.
No, but it really, really is.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, and a friend of mine is a pediatrician and I was talking to him and he said, I get two or three people a week that say, can you just say that
please.
I have X?
Cerebral palsy
or whatever. Autism. It doesn't matter. I need funding.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a terrible position to put a doctor in
yeah.
and to put a parent in. Can yeah. we lie so that I can get this? Yeah, and but he's that's like, what they just do the rounds.
That's what we're forced to.
Yeah, it's yeah. wrong.
Well, not me, because we got a diagnosis, but I can imagine. But you started something.
Yeah, you
did. I have
did.
Written a lot of submissions on the NDIS. I met with David Chin twice, who's yep. in charge of the review. I've met with Bill Shorten.
Amazing.
But it's still work in progress.
It is.
And look, we used to have Better Start funding.
Yep.
yep.
None of our Swan families got that because they didn't tick a box.
Yeah.
Right.
So we are getting a better system. It has the potential to be a great system.
It does.
But it still needs a lot of work.
It really does. Mm. And to hear that it's got potential isn't really helpful, is it?
Sorry.
Not when you're right no, now, right enough. Here
yeah.
in no. a crisis and you need the money.
And they're doing things that they shouldn't do, like reviews of reviewable decisions. Oh. They're doing over the phone and they're going, well, and I said, well, I'd like a face-to-face. Oh, no, we don't do face-to-face. I said, I had one 2 years ago. No, we only do it.
Mm.
I said to my planner who tried to do the review of a reviewable decision over yeah. the phone, and I said, what do you understand about disability and rare diseases? Oh, I'm in the review team. I said, so have you read the fact sheet that's mm-hmm. written in plain language on the portal about my daughter? No. So how can you do a review?
Mm.
We hear this all the time. Mm. Like it's constant for Mandy and I. Mm. And I just I feel so helpless. It's just you just feel like crying.
Yeah.
Like you're like, what? How are all these people having the same issue and it's not being resolved?
I'm still waiting for my tap.
Yeah.
It's really something small, but I'm just letting the world know I'm still waiting for the tap.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to bypass it. It's going to go back into the next plan. A year. Yeah. Just a stupid tap.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's not stupid because it gives someone the independence to have a shower.
Yes.
That is not stupid. That's really important.
It is. I was really looking forward to it. But anyway, thank you.
And all these beautiful plumbers messaging us going, we'll install the tap.
I know.
And he's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, what if I have it?
Yeah, that's right.
You anyway. Should advocate for the tap. We put it in our plan
yeah.
and we got it and it's changed my life.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Really? Okay.
The temperature one.
Oh, she got a
yeah.
She can flick it.
Yeah.
She couldn't control
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to get.
That's right. They didn't fund it enough and my planner asked contact my plumber when she shouldn't have after we got our plan to update the quote, which wasn't updated in our plan.
Yeah.
But at least we got most of it.
Tap. Yeah, okay. Well, that's good
three
to hear the tap's
tap?
Good.
3/4 of a tap. It's better than no tap.
That's right. That's
but it's not quite a tap.
But anyway.
If you can't advocate, I really think you are disadvantaged.
Well,
when it comes
I think
to NDIS.
I can't. So this is what I can do. I can talk, but I think I'm a little worn out to go hell for leather. I really am. And I'm sure that's a disadvantage to my girls, but I'm sorry if you ever listen.
You're amazing. You're amazing.
I know. Oh,
I know.
My support coordinator, she's probably like, jeepers. Anyway, enough about us, hey?
Yeah, that's right.
So tell us about did you call it a trio? Tell me a bit about that.
What Heather's referring to there is a new type of genomic test. So a genomic test is where you take a person's DNA and you spell out all their genes and you're looking for ways in which their DNA might be different from what you're expecting. So there's a kind of typical code of the DNA, and we've all got lots of DNA changes from each other. You know, we're all genetically not quite right.
Yep.
But some kids are unlucky and their little DNA change, wherever it is, affects a gene that can affect, depending
everything.
On the gene, their learning or their heart development or cause a cleft palate or, you know, lots of different ways your DNA can be changed and affect your health and development. In the past, in the olden days, and I guess what sort of Heather's lived through was that time where we had to kind of go one gene at a time.
Yeah,
and the thing is we've got 20,000 of
them.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Parents were sort of at the mercy of these hunches from the doctor, right? Oh, I think it might be this syndrome or that condition. Let's do a test, as Heather experienced, that gets maybe sent overseas, done on a research basis, because each gene to be spelled out might have cost $2,000.
Wow.
So you really could, you know, it was very slow. Lots of families didn't get any diagnosis at all.
Yeah.
And so what genomic testing allows us to do is spell them all out at the same time.
Wow.
So all 20,000 at the same time.
Gosh.
Oh, how fantastic.
And when did that come in?
I guess we started using it probably maybe mostly as a research test about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. When did you get your test, Heather? I've lost track of time as I get old.
4 years ago. But when we were first thinking about testing, it was going to cost us $6,000 for just a single exome.
Wow.
And I reckon my daughter would have still been in kinder when it first came out.
Right. So probably maybe 2013, 2014, that sort of ballpark, we were certainly starting to be able to use genomic sequencing, but in a research capacity. So we'd be able to offer it to a certain subset of kids to try and see how it worked.
Yep.
And what we found was a bit of a no-brainer.
Yep.
But what we found was that when you do this test, you make lots of diagnoses that you weren't making otherwise.
Wow.
And also you can take better care of kids when you know what condition they have. So, you know, we were diagnosing maybe half of the kids that we were testing compared with, you know, Heather's experience and lots of other families of maybe 1 in 10 families getting a diagnosis. So way better.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It Thank tells you, you how bad we were at our job beforehand, right?
Well, it's just,
you know, things were grim, but they got a lot better.
Yeah.
But what we realised is when we know what the condition is, there are health things we can look out for. There are medications we might need to avoid. There are medications that might be useful. Clearly we can't change the DNA, right?
No.
The DNA is a given.
Yeah. Yep.
But there's a lot we can do to do better in taking care of children with rare conditions when we know what it is.
Mm.
And so, sorry, this is a very long answer to what was quite a simple question.
Fascinating.
But once I get going on the soapbox, it's difficult to stop.
Tonight's your night.
Mandy, that's very kind permission. I don't
But I'm
it's
fascinated.
Dangerous. It's dangerous.
Yes, no, I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
So a trio is where you, coming right back to what you asked, is where you do the genomic test, but you do it on the child and the parent. So that's what the trio is.
Right. Got it.
Because what we find is we're all full of thousands of DNA changes, and it can be very hard to find the important one because there's a lot of noise in that test. And that one way of trying to reduce the noise and see the thing that is actually important is using the DNA of the parents to sort of filter out changes that are probably not related to the child's health problems.
Right. Ah, so interesting.
No.
Yeah.
We need people that win awards. They're so smart.
We do.
We really do. Except we'll accept it. Yeah, amazing.
But it's also got social benefits as well. So as well as treating medically, for example, with my daughter's condition, I know that around age 10 I was having huge issues with her behaviour and I could reach out to the close Facebook group. Does anyone else experience this?
Yes.
It seems that at age 10 everyone experiences this. But this isn't actually written up in any research papers because it's a relatively new condition.
Yes.
And I know for me I've been able to reach out to other families in Australia and gain comfort from it and learn from it. So my daughter had a overactive bladder and we would have got there eventually with the paediatrician, but I always go in with my big list of things.
Oh, yeah.
And so I spoke to this other lady and I said, oh, you know, she really annoys me. She just wants to go to the loo all the time. It's so annoying when you're at the shops.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, well, that happened to my daughter. We're on this medication for an overactive bladder. Changed my life.
Yes.
I cannot thank this lady enough.
Yeah.
So then I could take that information back to my daughter's pediatrician and say, what do you think of this? So it's, you know, it comes with social benefits and as well as medical benefits of having a diagnosis.
I'm part of HEMI. Well, I'm not part of it. HEMI Help in the UK. And so the similar sort of things, all this meltdown behaviour. And I was like nearly every second post and I was like, oh, my gosh, that is her.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's reassuring. I really understand what you're saying.
And obsessions. I know my daughter's obsessions last 18 months.
Really?
And
so the one
them.
Obsession?
Yes.
Right.
And it drives us crazy.
Yes.
That's all she talks about.
I get it. Yep.
So the first couple of weeks of the next 18 months, okay, and then
boom.
We're 5 months into the new year.
Okay, you got a long way to go.
But I know from talking to this other family.
Yeah, come out of it.
That's the length. And her daughter, who is now 26, is still having 18-month obsessions.
It's helpful to have people ahead of you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't make it easier.
No, it doesn't.
But it is helpful. Yeah.
Well, you're not as lonely.
No.
That's right. And I think that's the beauty of SWAN, and we continue to support families once they get a diagnosis because they're rare, and if there's no active face-to-face growth, why would we ask them to leave when they've made the connection with SWAN? They're still alone. Yeah. You know, they might be one of three in Australia.
Yeah.
Because isolation is a big factor for a lot of our members.
A lot of peas.
A lot.
Yeah.
Everyone that messages us.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah. I feel less
alone. Lonely business.
Like, oh, we're all just out there together but alone.
Yeah.
So, the power of just having someone else that's had a similar journey is... You can't. It's just amazing.
Do you get together at all, like in person?
SWAN?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have lots of events. So you can go to our website.
Yep.
And we've got all our upcoming events on the website. So we do a parent dinner. So we've got one coming up for Rare Disease Day.
Yeah.
We do Undiagnosed Children's Awareness Day,
which
is Sunday the 15th of March this year. Right. And in Melbourne we're doing a Community Family Fun Day at Croxton School in Northcote. And we do other Rare Disease Day or Undiagnosed Children's Awareness Day morning teas around Australia.
Yeah.
And we also do a virtual session once a month called Meet the Expert. So we've got a geneticist actually talking about a program called Face Match, and we record these sessions. So if you can't tune in, you can go to our website and watch the recording.
Yeah.
And then we're alternating that with just a social catch-up on GoToMeeting, so any family can dial in and talk to other SWAN families.
Oh, good on you.
So. That's a huge amount of work.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And we do have a dad's group, but we're just trying to find a new facilitator for that.
We
run a SWAN playgroup, and now we're trying playgroups in the park once a month.
Right.
So we're always evolving. We're always trying new things, and we've got a siblings group going in Melbourne, and we're hoping to get one in Queensland
soon.
Good
job.
Wow.
Because often siblings are the forgotten ones.
They are.
Oh, yeah, they are.
So we really want to support them. So we've been lucky enough to get a grant to put towards.
So have you been doing applying for all the grants? Like who, have you got people on your team or is it just mostly you?
Mostly me.
Yeah. How did you learn all this stuff?
Oh, you learn on the job.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
It's come a long way, hasn't it, Heather?
We've evolved and we're still evolving and I've made plenty of mistakes along the way.
Oh, I think that's
I learn from them and but we have come a long way considering when I first started, I think I knew two other families who had an undiagnosed child. Mm. So we keep growing. But we know there's a lot more families out there we could be supporting. We actually estimate there's 2,500 children born every year without a diagnosis.
Yeah,
so we're just tipping the iceberg.
Yeah.
And not everyone wants a diagnosis.
No.
We respect that.
Yep.
But we would like to support more families because it's horrible being isolated.
Yeah.
And so all of your funding comes from either you've got a grant or someone's kind enough to donate.
That's right.
That's it. Wow.
Yep, we need some richness, P friends.
Yeah, come on. I went to a Phil Collins concert once. My husband loves Phil Collins. I'm not such a fan. Anyway, I went. Now he goes on his own or he has other friends to go with.
Okay.
But he just stood up and he was like, okay, this isn't normally what happens at a concert, but people are coming around with a bucket. I can't be the only fucking rich person here.
Oh.
We're going to give to homeless people. And then everyone was just donating. I was like,
right.
Wow, there's like 10,000 people in the tennis center or whatever. And you couldn't, you felt like you had to put something in.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, good on him.
Should do that everywhere.
Yeah. It was really cool. So you just
need
a famous
bit like church,
person.
But
a bit like church. This is the people next to you can see if you're giving.
Sorry, I do a direct debit.
No cash today.
I'm still tithing.
So would you like us to lend you some buckets for your live show?
Wow, you know.
Really good.
We can think
like
about
the way
that.
You think, Heather.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, we'll definitely put all the links up.
Yeah.
And they'll be in the show notes as well. Thank you, Akka.
Yeah.
Who just magically does them. They just appear.
I know. She's so good.
Oh, she's so good.
Oh, boy.
We couldn't do it. Well, didn't do it.
No,
so,
we didn't.
It was very, she's amazing.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With the, I'm going back to the parents testing as well. Have you, do you see many parents that have the have a syndrome as well, or?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so,
and they didn't know, or?
There's some genetic conditions that can vary a lot from one person to the next. So, say some genetic conditions you might have, and you might have had a couple of unexplained health issues in your life, but not known that it was a genetic condition. Yes. And it's only when you have a child who might be more affected than you that you sort of come to medical attention, maybe. So sometimes, yes, we do. But probably more often it's an the experience where the child has a genetic condition that's a new DNA change in the family. That would be the most common way it comes about. So on average, each of us has about one DNA change that our parents don't have. And so if that DNA change is just anywhere, you might be perfectly healthy, but if it happens to affect a gene that is really important for growth and development, you might have some health or developmental problems as a consequence. So, and then there are other genetic conditions where both parents carry something and the child gets a double dose of the DNA change. A bit, you might have heard of cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, so I was just thinking cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, so that kind of pattern of inheritance.
Wow, it's really interesting. Did you have the DNA testing when you had the twins?
No.
Yeah, we did the Twin Association, what's it called?
What, Amber?
No.
Like, oh, Twins Research.
Yeah.
No, so, because I think they were so prem, we couldn't get into anything.
No. Well, we're only a week along the track a bit from you.
We couldn't do the immunisation at home, and I was really annoyed because I really wanted that.
Yeah, we couldn't do that either.
Yeah, and all my friends had it, and I was like, damn you with your term babies and your home visiting.
I'll take both of mine.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I was cross too.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I'll let that go.
Maybe it's because they're identical twins.
Maybe. So okay. No, I haven't had any.
We did.
And when we had the second diagnosis with Millie, Shane did say maybe it could be something genetic, but I just couldn't deal with that at the time.
No. Yeah, that's fair
enough. No, it's definitely not for everybody, right?
And yeah.
So for some people, it nowhere along the line is it their thing.
Yeah.
And for other people, it's a question of timing, isn't it?
So yeah.
I guess we see families who don't want genomic tests, and we completely respect that. And some will come back later and, you know, have a feel differently about it, but it's a very personal decision.
Yeah.
And also thought, depends
what we've got diagnosis. So I didn't feel like we were missing something. So.
That's true. Yeah. Wow. Really
Super interesting. Then I was a bit scared having the third baby too.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe I was just in big fat denial. I don't know. I didn't meet you at the pool. I didn't get to ask.
Wrong pool.
I don't go to the pool. No one's an Aquanation helping me. Oh, funny and silly, aren't we?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't won any awards.
No, not yet.
That's right. We didn't even know what a trio of dips of DNA testing was.
So good.
And so now moving forward, do you have like a idea of what do you want to say your daughter's name?
Becky.
Becky.
Yeah.
And so is she still at special school, and what's she doing now?
Yeah, so she goes still at special school.
Yeah.
Look, it's hard to tell because there's not that many older kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the eldest child with her condition is 43.
Right.
And there seems to be such a variation in her condition. So, you know, there's kids with FOXP1 who aren't toilet trained.
Yep.
She's toilet trained.
Yep.
There's some that are really not very verbal at all. She's verbal but difficult to understand.
Right. Yep.
So, look, it's as Sue said before, we know to look out for certain things. So some of these kids have renal issues, so we can keep an eye on that.
Right.
Whereas if we didn't have a diagnosis, we wouldn't even be monitoring
the kidneys.
So it does
super important
help. And yeah. like any carer, we don't like to think of the future. I think it just causes so much anxiety. So, you know, it's a roller coaster journey.
Yeah.
Life's a lottery game. You've got to play the best cards you're dealt with.
Yeah.
And try and support her as long as she's happy and safe. They're the priorities.
Yeah, they sure are.
Which really should be everyone's.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have to strip it back.
Yeah.
We overanalyze, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we do. Everyone does.
Yeah.
And how do you take care of yourself? Do you...
Well, I've just started swimming again in the morning. Yay! So we're going together, having a race.
No, I'm in the slow lane.
I probably don't do enough self-care. I'm trying to get to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Actually ended up with a really bad case of shingles in December, January. So that's kind of a bit of a wake-up call.
You fell apart.
Slow down. Yeah. So
your body's saying, look after yourself.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm trying to do better at self-care.
Yeah.
But like every carer, you know, it's easier said than done.
Got to do it where you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember it. You know, even if you don't do it, you're like, that's what I should be doing, you know, just have that little thought.
I think that 2 years ago when I had a tricky year, I just thought, I just need to survive it. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'm eating chocolate every day. And, you know, that was my own kind of self-care. I've just got to do whatever I've got to do this year.
Yeah.
You know, and then slowly started to do a few things. Well, last year starting the podcast, that kind of started us feeling a bit.
Oh, changed
like alive again.
Yeah, really. Life changing.
Really.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think I've got a lot of good friends who've got kids with disability. Yeah. And helps. That's my tribe.
Yeah.
You know, we have a message support system. Yeah. We go out for dinner, we go out for coffee, we go out for wine.
Yeah. Yep.
And I couldn't do it without those people. You know, they're my lifeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my other friends are great, but the people who have similar lives, they get it.
Yeah, they do. And it's just that lack of judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing. That's right. Mandy and I have got a group that we're in and the stuff that gets written in there.
Could read it.
Don't worry, we will never say.
No.
But it's just so fantastic.
Yeah.
Never underestimate the value of peer support.
Never. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what's really hard for country peas.
Yeah.
Like they are alone.
Yeah.
And so we love them and we love, they're like, can you come to my town? I'm like, well, I'd love to, but you know.
You never know.
But I love that they can then join the hangout on Facebook.
That's right.
We can all be in there together.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
I am thankful for Facebook.
Yeah.
Because that's where my world opened up. You know, about to find this group and that group.
Yeah, and they're closed groups. I didn't even know they were there.
That's right. Yeah, there's privacy.
Yeah.
I think I didn't realise that for a while. And then, you know, I'd be, you know, the old Mandy of first Facebook was just posting everything.
Yeah.
Every single thing I thought. You know, they come back up 10 years later. Mandy wrote something ridiculous.
I know.
And then
checked in at Coles.
Yeah. Like then the closed groups came, it was like, right.
Yeah.
We can really start to tell some truths.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah. So you have that for Swan? Yeah.
Yeah, we've got an over 10s group.
Ah.
We have a bereavement group.
Great. Yep. Yeah.
And we have a grandparents group.
Ah.
And we're just in the process of setting up separate state ones to try and connect the states more.
I'm so impressed.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah,
you're
I really
amazing.
Am.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Someone has to do it, but wow, it's you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Australian of the Year.
Yes.
I will award that to you.
We will nominate you.
There's a lot of amazing people
I know there is.
I know, but still, don't underestimate what you've done.
Yeah,
look that's how many right. lives have been changed.
Yeah. I remember seeing a family who I'd seen and they came back to see me like a year later after they'd had some genomic testing and they didn't get a diagnosis. And we had quite a long chat about how they're travelling and what we talked about previously, and the mum was just this wonderful woman who was very honest with me, and she said, you know, it's really nice seeing you and everything, and, you know, it's quite nice chatting to you and you have quite a lot to say. And I was like, right.
Where's this going?
But really the only helpful thing you've done for me is to link me with Swan.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like,
that's so powerful.
Okay.
That was a lot of study.
I'm glad I linked you with Swan.
Yes.
So, you know, for health professionals, it's really helpful to work out, to twig that sometimes the thing that you can do that might be therapeutic is nothing to do with medicine. And it might all be to do with connection. And it's humbling to work that out.
Yes.
You know, my ego took a slight hit.
sorry.
Wasn't the last time. But it was, you know, and I appreciated her honesty because, yeah. you know, it was that moment where she was saying to me, this is what you did that helped me.
Yeah. And now you know every single family, I you're going to say that.
I do.
Yeah, do you? Yeah.
It's interesting when Sue first helped me write the Swan brochure, she said to me, oh, I always feel bad when I can't give someone a diagnosis. Mm. Now at least I can give them a Swan something. Brochure.
Yes.
And I'd actually never stopped to think about what it was like for geneticists. Yes. I was just so focused on the answer. So,
Yeah. I mean, for sure our lives – we're not living with a child with an undiagnosed condition. We, you know, we get to hand the beautiful kids back and go home.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't for a minute pretend that our lives are the same. But on days where you have rough conversations with families, either no diagnosis when they're hoping for one or a diagnosis that involves bad news about the future.
Yeah.
They are tough old days, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I can see it in my colleagues. Sometimes we'll come back from clinic and I can see that someone is carrying a load.
Yeah.
And that's why I write the fiction, actually. It's my way of kind of writing out some of the things that I witness and I guess just how I feel about stuff.
Everyone needs an escape. I often think that when I'm sitting at a specialist or getting another report back and I think, you have to tell me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's easy in some ways because I have a child that I love and, you know, they are just giving this clinical, you know, so... Yeah.
Do you have like supervision or something? Do you all get to have some debriefing? Or?
Yeah, we do some. We're probably not as good at it as the genetic counsellors that we work alongside.
Right.
They're probably a lot better. Well, they are not probably. They definitely are a lot better at looking after themselves like that. It's an interesting thing, the medical model. There's still that hangover in medicine that it's a sign of weakness to admit that something was hard or that you did a crap job or that it's got to you and you're having dreams about what happened or that whatever impact it's had on you, I think there's still that lingering sense that it's not so good to admit vulnerability and I think that still pervades medicine a little bit. So my partner is a genetic counsellor, so I have my own sort of debriefing, you know, over dinner. The kids are like, Mum and Dad, not genomics again. Can you pass the chips and stop talking about your DNA?
That's fantastic.
So are they going to go into the same line of work?
I am 100% confident that they will find another very rewarding non-DNA career.
How fantastic.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Wow. It's been so interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for having us.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So tell me those dates again. There's February...
Rare Disease Day, which is the 29th of February. So there's a Swan dinner and the details are on our website.
Yep.
And Sunday the 15th of March between 10 and 3 is Undiagnosed Children's Awareness Day and we have a community family fun day and we have a jumping castle, Anna and Elsa, the police come, we have cakes, jams. It's just a really fun community day and a petting zoo and, everyone's welcome.
Okay. Oh.
Beautiful.
Well done. We'll put the links to your website on our podcast.
Great.
And
thank you.
People can find it and bombard you with more work.
Yeah, that's true. Have we missed anything in asking? Is there anything you want to say?
I think you've done a fantastic job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
and you.
Yes, good on you. Naturals. Maybe you could start a podcast.
Maybe you could.
You can talk about DNA whenever you want.
No kids there to tell me to shut up.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah, just record you and your husband every night.
That could be taken the wrong way.
I know. Oh, my God.
So I'm good. Sure there's a podcast for that as well.
Explicit.
You'll get the E.
Yeah, you'll get the E. If we got it, you'll get it. That is so fantastic.
gosh.
So we always at the end of every episode do our cry difference laugh. Do you have anything this week that made you cry?
Look, I always find the first week back at school hard because my daughter never wants to go and it's always a bumpy ride the first 2 weeks with school refusal and just getting her to focus on getting dressed and the visual schedule's there and it's still she gets too distracted by the cats and you end up losing your temper.
Just people saying like every professional I've spoken to, oh, so just take away the distractions. I'm like, we can be distracted by a dandelion. So there is no way we can remove them.
Yeah.
Thank you for that great advice.
Oh, tricky.
Yeah. And how that time in the morning, that hour, it goes in about 3 minutes, doesn't it? Like, you're like, come on.
Oh, it's frustrating. Get to
that bus. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I think we all cry in the first week or two back to school. And I think the like both the boys said to me today, so when is Christmas holidays?
Oh, no.
And I was like, it's December.
We're in February.
And then Buzz was like, do you mean as in when Christmas is? And I was like, yes. And he's just walked off. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's real. It's a whole year. We're going to go through all the seasons. So, yeah, you know. I mean, fair enough. If school's hard, you know.
Even Miss Nine was having a cry tonight and she's had a happy time.
Yeah.
You know? So even, you know, even for all lots of kids, it's tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, you've got an extra dollop.
Yeah.
So it's tricky for you. Does the routine kick in and it's okay or?
Hit and miss.
Yeah.
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just never know.
It goes in waves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same as my house. Yeah. Yes. Many waves.
Yeah.
Sometimes she refuses to get out of the car.
Yeah.
And we wait half an hour and then we drive home.
Yeah, do you?
Well, what can I do?
Will the teachers try and come out and help or?
Well, we park over away from the oval and, it's just a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
And she's very strong-minded.
Yeah, and the thing is when they get bigger, you can't just pick them up.
No.
So I think when I realised that when mine started getting bigger, because I used to say, well, are you going to walk or am I going to carry you?
Yeah.
And I'd just carry them. And then you can't do that once they're big.
No.
Yeah. Mm. And then I'm like, shit, what am I going to do now? That worked for years.
I didn't have any other method.
I know, I didn't. So, yeah. I mean, I remember getting the bus once in my dressing gown, nude underneath. Yeah. And I just had to get, I was like, today, you could have told me today was the day you weren't going to get out of the car.
Yes.
So I just have to kind of go down and I'm like,
I hope it wasn't windy, Mandy.
Good morning, bus driver. Yeah. You know, she's just shoving her up the stairs. That was a visual no one needed. But sometimes I've just had a shower and she's cracking in about something and I'm just, right, we've got to go. And
Yeah.
It's just the chaos people don't understand.
No.
Yeah. You're not alone in that.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you have any cry?
My cry was going to a funeral, actually, of a woman who was a patient of mine for a long time. So she had a rare genetic condition.
Right.
And so she passed away in her 40s, but I'd kept in contact with the family. They were just this lovely family that I'd connected quite a lot to.
Yeah.
So even when she moved beyond sort of the children's hospital, I kept in email contact with her mum, and her mum let me know that she died.
Aww.
And actually this was my make a difference experience too, actually, because I went to the funeral and it was just a beautiful funeral. As it was terribly sad, but they did an amazing job of sort of, I guess, celebrating her life. And what struck me while I was sitting there was how little was about her differences and her disabilities.
Yes.
And, you know, in my funny medical brain, sometimes that I think, you know, we think a lot about what people can't do.
Of course.
And the difficulties, and we're trying to give a name to it and we're trying to understand it better.
Yes.
But this funeral was all about Jane's sense of humour and her ability to connect with people and her, she was very talented at embroidery. So it was all about that. And it was a brilliant reminder to me that I know one little square of the people that I see. But there's all this other richness that's got nothing to do with their genetic condition. And that was humanity. Was really powerful. Yeah, yeah, it was beautiful. Oh, and I was crying.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I think we forget how much the professionals love some of our families.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I assume. Maybe they don't love mine.
Most of them,
the ones that have spoken together. I cried yesterday because we were just going to my mum and dad's for lunch, and my cousin was going there, and Molly just cracked. Went halfway there, she hadn't brushed her teeth, so she starts screaming in the car that she hadn't brushed her teeth and go back. I was like, no, we're nearly there. It doesn't matter about your teeth. No one's going to smell your breath. But in the back, Miss Nyman was just like this, like, deflated. Looking like I can't listen to this again. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
We just got in and my mum just cuddled her and said, I've got a spare toothbrush. Oh. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, good of job, course, Nana.
You know. And then I just kind of had a cry, like,
yep.
Just, you know, can't we just go somewhere easily? No. And it was just a moment, and then I just snapped out of it. And
yeah, well, they're just little short cries,
like are, and then they bounce back, okay, that's right. We're on,
we got the toothbrush,
That's right, good on you, it Nana. Was something small, but
doesn't like swearing, but got toothbrushes,
great,
awesome job,
does not like the swearing. What about you, Kate?
Well, I haven't really had a cry this week. Little slight disclosure, we did only record a few days ago.
So yeah, true.
I'm not going to make it up.
Yeah, that's okay. So, yeah.
You know, I can go back in the past and tell you about millions of them. But in the spirit of honesty, I haven't had a cry in the last few days.
Awesome.
So, you know, that could change tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll come back down and dub one in.
Make a difference. Have you got to make a difference?
I think being on your podcast, to talk about Swan and hopefully support more members. That's going to be a big difference.
Yeah, great. We're so thrilled.
Yeah, we really
give you this chance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yours had your funeral?
Yes.
You got one.
Mandy. Mine was fruitless hot cross buns.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes. Because
we did not want to sniff out a sultana.
Oh, no.
No. So, Aldi, fruitless hot cross buns, wolfing them down.
Oh, I'm going to go get some.
Yeah, she's like, I hate fruit. I was like, I know.
Oh, yeah.
So she had them in her lunch and she ate two of them.
Two.
Really. This is how big.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean,
next week, she probably won't like them either. But for this week, fruitless hot cross buns.
We love the choc chip ones.
Yeah, well, they like them too. But I know. Dessert. I can't get them all the time.
No, Baker's Delight have them.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I can't just give her chocolate chips all the time. No. I mean, I could, but anyway, she really likes, and of course everyone was like, well, they're disgusting without fruit. I was like, okay, all right, I'll get the fruit ones for you, I'll get the fruitless for you. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Oh, geez. That, and I wanted to say also my, I've just got a tutor for Miss Nine, and she listens to the podcast, and she just comes in, and she just gives her this beautiful time. She's like, we've got this.
Oh.
And then she texts me today. Her teacher's already called me. We're all over it. We're working together. I was like, yay, teacher. Yay, tutor.
Beautiful.
I just sat down for a minute and thought, I don't have to worry about that. I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
Just one thing I don't have to worry about. Yeah. These two people are working together.
Yeah.
You know? Oh.
Yeah. Tutors are amazing.
I know.
When it works really well. Yeah,
well, it's working.
One-on-one learning.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm going to scrounge for the money.
Yeah.
I am, because it gives her the moment. She is so happy afterwards.
Yeah, and afternoons are a little bit mayhem.
They are.
So she gets a quiet time.
Yeah, well-ish.
Really nice.
Yeah. But it's okay. So she's made a difference. Her name's Anna. Thank you, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Awesome Anna.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my make a difference is for Christmas, my beautiful friend Marita, who listens as well, she got me a signed copy of Kitty Flanagan's 488 Rules for Life.
Ah,
have you read it?
No.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah, and she's funny.
She is funny.
Like really funny.
Yeah,
not
proper
like
funny. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't just laugh at herself.
No, I know. That's all we do.
Yeah. Yeah. The first rule or something is though, do not say you're in a tribe unless you're actually – I was like, well, ba-bam.
Sorry, she won't like our –
We are in the pea tribe.
Yeah. We made our own tribe up.
We did, but she's like, she says not allowed to do that unless you're actually from a tribe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whoops-a-daisy.
Anyway, but the rules are all funny. They're just – so number one daughter will often just say, okay, choose – if there's a bit of disquiet or discomfort going on in the home, choose a rule. And then someone just will say 33 and then she reads it.
Oh, fun.
And so then they're funny. Yeah. Sometimes it goes over our head and sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it just lightens the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're just keeping it near the table.
Perfect.
And it's because we don't do a lot of all sitting around talking about the one topic.
No.
Like, you really? Know, DNA.
No.
I know that's what other families do. But
I don't think I'll be getting a dinner invitation anytime soon.
You will with us. The kids.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to know.
So, yeah,
that's funny.
That's why I make a difference.
Oh,
yeah.
Gee.
And did anything make you ladies laugh?
Oh, my daughter makes me laugh sometimes. Yes. It's her saving grace that she comes out with.
Yep.
So I wouldn't let her have screen time because she'd had enough. And she said, I said, we can play a game or we do reading. She said, you're just no fun, Mum.
Yep, no fun.
And the other thing she says to me is, give me a break. So to my son, do I say that a lot?
I was going
to
say, where did she hear that?
It's so cute. They're so funny.
They're so funny.
Yeah, yeah. People don't realise.
They are funny. Yeah. A pee made me laugh. In clinic, I saw a little girl, maybe about five, who is nonverbal, so she communicates using sign, but she was really interested in me for some reason. I don't know why, but she came and sat on my knee while I was chatting to her parents. And for me, it's lovely because I get this opportunity to, you know, have a bit of a cuddle with them. They're gorgeous. So we're having a bit of a cuddle and we're just sitting there sort of smiling at each other and I'm chatting to the parents about something I can't remember. Anyway, then she sort of looks at my tummy and then she sort of patted my tummy.
Oh, no.
And her mum said, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. And I'm thinking, oh, no, what?
That's
what,
what?
And then she got her hands. And she
made
started
the sign for a baby.
You're sort of cradling a baby. And her mum's going, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, so
and
embarrassing.
I'm like, no, this is hilarious. I said, I'm sorry, there isn't a baby in my tummy. I just ate too much pizza, you know. But it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's
oh,
very
so
funny.
Cute.
The truth.
I know.
It's funny.
My mum probably was just like, oh,
please
no.
not now.
I know. I thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
It is hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh. My laugh was we went to the lunch and the whole way there was upset about the teeth, but also said, and I don't want rolls.
Bread rolls.
I'm sick of rolls. Yeah, so hasn't cleaned her teeth and I don't want rolls.
Got it.
I'm sick of white bread. I thought, okay. Right, so we get there and she comes in, has the teeth and comes and goes, I don't want rolls. And
just to
of course,
mom.
Yeah, because of course the rolls are on the bench. There they are with all the salad. I said, okay, you can just have some salad. So it just gets two pieces of ham.
That's a good salad.
Anyway, so we go outside, we eat, and then all of a sudden she disappears. She comes back out with a roll with ham in it, and she goes, I'm facing my fears. I didn't know you were scared. I thought you just didn't like them. Just all lava. Oh, good. Oh, gee.
She had to give in.
She had to give in. She's like, okay, I do like rolls. We've been having a lot of bread over the holidays, I think, because it's white and she likes it.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Oh, so silly.
Well, my made me laugh, which is sort of hard to describe, is Woody got one of my daughter's bras. I did send Mandy a Snapchat. And it sort of was a padded cup bra, and he put it either side of his head.
and then turned his back to me. So I just saw the back of his head with the two cups and he goes, I'm a fly, I'm a fly. And he didn't look like a fly.
I was just like,
it was so funny. And then just walk off. Where do you think of this stuff?
I don't know.
Precious gifts.
It was a pretty bra.
It was a really pretty bra. Yeah, and she's just like a Snapchat dish. Oh my God, where did you get it? It's like, there's no privacy in this house.
No.
None.
None.
No.
No.
There's just.
Oh, too none. Good.
Anyway.
Oh, funny, funny.
So, yeah, that was my laugh.
So it's good to laugh.
Yeah. Before we go, we will remind you that we've got our live shows, please.
Yes, we do.
So Sydney, March 8th, which is rapidly approaching when you hear this podcast.
Yes, it is.
Saturday, March 21 and Saturday, March 28 in Melbourne. All the links are on the
website.
And we will have been having our shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, constant self-promotion.
Sorry, constant self-promotion in the meantime.
Anyway. We've gone over it. We met last Wednesday and we basically just went all the way through it. And we were laughing so much at ourselves. We were like, oh, well, I mean, if no one else laughs, we will be. So
we can't wait to see
We can't wait. So,
So book a ticket to come and see us and then go rate and review where you get your podcast.
Yes, that's your job. Thank you, everyone. We're going to say it every week, even though people write on pages, stop asking us to rate and review. No one's done that to us, but I've seen
never.
It.
Never.
Yeah.
You're all amazing. And remember that if you want to get in contact with us, our email is in the show notes, because I'm not going to pretend that I remember it.
twopiecepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And if you want to be in our book.
Yes, that's right. We spoke about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So just send us a couple of lines about why you want to be in the book and we will file it away. And when we write the book, we'll contact you.
Yeah.
So thanks, Peas.
Thanks, Peas. Thank you for coming,
ladies.
Thank
you, ladies. It was so great. Thanks for having us.
Well done. Okay. See you. Bye. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.